You may be seated. I want to give you some instructions this morning. First of all, I smell the broccoli in the oven downstairs, so I can assure you for numerous reasons the sermon's not going to be too long this morning. One of the reasons being that I'm looking for little children, the ones who usually go to children's church. So if they're not here right now, if they're somewhere else, round them up, because they're a vital part of what we're going to do today. I see some stuck here, there, and yon. So if you know where they're hiding, Mom and Dad, you find them before the service is over. Today, I am varying from our series from Passover to Pentecost, because this family day of gathering for this fellowship meal and just being a family really in my heart call for a message on God bless the family. In 1991, what has now been ranked the 43rd funniest comedy ever made, and one of my favorite, What About Bob? Some of you are familiar with that, Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss. Bob is a neurotic psychiatric patient of a very egotistical Dr. Leo Marvin. But the interesting thing about Bob is that despite all his neurosis and all of his strange quirks, when asked about his divorce, he said it's sort of like this: some people like Neil Diamond, some don't. That was sort of his conception of why his life was such a mess. But as that movie unfolds and Bob decides he cannot do without his psychiatric mentor, he follows him to a getaway in Maine, and there he meets Dr. Leo Marvin's family, wife, daughter, and son, Siggy. And he is immediately enamored with this family, and the family becomes enamored with him. And if you remember that scene around the supper table that night where he's eating corn on the cob and going on and on about it till you think, Bob, please shut up about how good the corn is. But what was happening there in the midst of what is a very funny movie is a clear lesson. People are desperate to not be lonely. We were never created to be alone. You've heard me say numerous times that in the beginning of time, when God created everything that He created, He looked at it at its completion and said, "This is good. This is good." But when He created Adam and there was no helper for him, the scripture says precisely, God said, "This is not good." It is not good for a person to be alone. In fact, the Bible is very clear in dealing with God's heart for us being set in families. Psalm 68 and verse 6, for instance, says He gives families to the lonely. Or as another version says, He sets the solitary in families. So I'm going to talk briefly this morning about families, and I want to pray God's blessing on your family. As we prayed this morning in our elders' pre-service prayer, we humbly confessed and acknowledged there's not a family anywhere who doesn't need help. The grace of God, encouragement, strength, dealing with the issues, because we live in a culture where there is an all-out attack on the family. If you've been reading some of my articles about my early life, many of you could identify with the fact that we lived in simpler times, easier times, and families were indeed, for the most part, stronger and closer knit. But in my lifetime, I've seen an all-out attack on the family like never before. For one of the things that we understand is that Satan hates everything that God loves. Sometimes folks wonder, why is there such oppression of the Jewish people? Well, because they are God's chosen people. Why is there such an all-out attack on Christianity? Because they are God's followers. Why is there an attack on the family? Because God loves families. Satan hates everything that God loves. So I want to encourage us in families this morning. As I said, I do want to be as brief as possible, so I'm just going to talk about some of the aspects of who makes up the family. And my very first one is husbands and wives. There's a scripture that I would use for that. You'll put it on the screen. It's Ephesians 5:21. I chose not to go into all the following verses about responsibilities of a wife and responsibilities of a husband. So often those get misused. But Ephesians 5:21 is an admonition to husbands and wives together. It's an admonition to all of us in life, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, or as one version says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Husbands and wives, families will do really well when husbands and wives are willing to submit to one another when the occasion calls for submission. You see, it really is true. Sometimes, men, your wife knows better about certain things than you do. What happens generally where trouble comes into play is when we get into that tug of war about who's in control, who's in charge. What does that verse 21 say? Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Because underlining all of that is saying, you know who's really in control? You know who's really in charge? You know who ought to be in charge? It's Christ. If we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, life and marriage and families will work much smoother. You don't need me to say 100 different times that doing things God's way really works best. It really does. There's a reason God lays certain things in place. It's because He loves us. It's because He knows what works best. So husbands and wives, for blessing in your family, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then we come to fathers. I'm a father, and I believe, and I've talked to other fathers, I don't think there's a father on the face of the earth who doesn't live with a guilt complex to some degree or another. We fathers live under the constant pressure of, did we do it right? Did we make a big mistake here? Could we have done better there? Is my daughter's failure and my son's rebellion my fault? We live with that guilt. We could have done better. I could have done better. We could all do better. But there is a very clear passage in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. There generally seems to be, especially with fathers and sons, real often that conflict about, as the boys grow older, who's the man of the house. There are just some natural conflicts that happen in life because of our human nature. But what God says to us fathers is, first of all, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't get them upset. Sometimes we harp on them and stay after them, sons or daughters, whatever. We stay after them. Usually it's because of fear. It's a kind of love that says, I want you to do well. I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I made. But sometimes we tend to overdo it, I think. I sometimes think, as many of you probably have thought, it would be wonderful if we could be grandparents first. Because we mellow and we're not as uptight. We still carry, I have found that being a grandparent, I now carry two loads. Because one of my grandchildren hurt, I not only hurt for them, but I hurt for the hurt that their parent is going through. But we are a little more gentle. We tend to not overreact so much. If we fathers could learn that. As Chuck Swindoll said, when his dad was kind of hard on him, but when he'd go to his grandpa's, he got to do all kinds of things, like drive the car. I want to tell you a quick story about my dad as a dad and a granddad. When I was 15 years old, a friend on the farm down the road said, you know, I need somebody to drive me into town. I didn't have a driver's license. I drove him into town, drove around, boy, having a big time driving around until he got through with whatever he's doing, took him back home. Well, my dad found out, he was so upset. When my great-nephew, Hunter, was 10 years old. He and Dad were out driving down on the Salem Pike out in the county. Dad said, "Here, Hunter, this is a good place for you to learn to drive." And he was riding along happy with that 10-year-old grandson down the great-grandson. It even gets worse with great-grandchildren. But somewhere in between, there is this mellow, don't provoke your children to wrath. Be a little gentler. Be a little more understanding. You know, training them, as it says, of the training and admonition of the Lord. The training refers to shaping the will through proper discipline. And admonition refers to shaping the mind through teaching. And so we need to look at ourselves as fathers, as those who shape through training, being patient, teaching, all those things. For some of us, and I want to say this, and I learned this a long time ago, I believe until we leave this world, it's never too late. It's never too late to work on some of the things that maybe we didn't do so well in our earlier years, but there's always room for working on those things that God says work best. What about mothers? What can you say about mothers? They have a special place. I'm going to just share something that's not on the screen. I wanted to read it from the Living Bible. In Proverbs, you're familiar with that wonderful passage about the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31 says, "These are the wise sayings of King Lemuel, the oracle, taught to him at his mother's knee." And she begins by saying, "O my son, whom I have dedicated to the Lord." Mothers, can I say, because it's more difficult probably for you than for us as fathers, because you carried those children in your womb, they belong to God first and foremost. And sometimes mothers, and I don't say this disrespectfully or in a negative way, sometimes mothers have a hard time letting go. And the wise sayings of King Lemuel's mother were, first of all, "My son, whom I have dedicated to the Lord." I'm not going to read the first thing she says, which struck me as kind of humorous: "Stay away from women." And then she goes on to say the wrong kind of women. But mothers, realize that your children belong to the Lord. But listen to how this woman is described, this mother. She's a woman of strength and dignity and has no fear of old age. When she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness is the rule for everything she says. She watches carefully all that goes on throughout her household and is never lazy. Her children stand and bless her. So does her husband. He praises her with these words: "There are many fine women in the world, but you're the best of them all. Charm can be deceptive and beauty doesn't last, but a woman who fears and reverences God shall be greatly praised. Praise her for the many fine things she does. These good deeds of hers shall bring her honor and recognition from even the leaders of nations." All of that to say, mothers, you have a greater influence than you can ever imagine. And so take that responsibility to heart and recognize the impact that you can have on your children. But I would say again, recognize first and foremost, they do belong to God. What about children? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. You know this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." I'm old enough to willingly be called an old fogey. But I don't think it's real old fogey to say that respect and honor of parents is still in vogue. And it grieves me sometimes to see the tremendous breakdown in respect that children give to their parents. Again, it's one of those things that God prescribes because it works well. It's one of the commandments. Now, we know that because of grace, we're not under the commandments, and because of Jesus fulfilling all the ceremonial law, we're not under the ceremonial law of the Old Testament. But the weightier matters of the law, according to Jesus in Matthew 23:23, the weightier matters of the law you should heed. What are the weightier matters of the law? Love, justice, mercy, honor, respect. This commandment that you honor your father and mother is very binding, and it's very practical. And there is a promise. The giver of the Ten Commandments, God Himself, said, here's the promise. If you honor your mother and father, it will go well with you. You know, there's something beautiful about a family where there's mutual respect, where fathers really try to not provoke their children, where mothers try to love and train without clinging, and where children show respect. There is a beauty, there is a flow, there is a peace, and there is a contribution to life itself made by following God's prescription. And so that is a good thing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, what about the little ones? I tried to think who the little ones were here, but I'm thinking today. Now, I know this is going to be like pulling hen's teeth, but I want to find all these kids, and you won't have to do anything that'll embarrass you. All the kids who go to children's church, round them up. I see DeLorean. I see Chloe. I see Mallory. I don't see Ben. Ben's, hey, Ben. DeLorean, you guys come up here. Now, y'all have to bear with us. This is a child thing. Now, this is kind of a child and Jesus thing. Put that scripture from Matthew chapter 19. You guys just sit down there and make yourself at home, okay? Just have a seat. We got any more? Are there any? I know a bunch of them are missing. But here's the thing. Don't be scared. And don't frown. Just be yourself. Oh, Lord, help us. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. Now, in that case, it wasn't a church gathering. It was probably out on a hillside somewhere. And you moms and dads and others, you would have brought those kids because everybody was scrambling to see Jesus. And the disciples, who were quite dignified, said, no, Jesus is too important. His teaching is too important. Adults take precedence. So Jesus rebuked them. And this is what Jesus said. Boys and girls, when they didn't want kids your age to come and talk to Jesus, Jesus said, let these little children come to me and do not forbid them. Don't stop them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And then he laid his hands on them and departed from there. Now, boys and girls, do y'all ever know, you're not up here most of the time when we pray for folks and lay hands on them. That's a way of blessing folks, and that's what Jesus did. Let me ask you a question. Can I sit down? DeLorean, you and Mallory, move over a little bit. Ben, let me sit down here between you for just a second, okay? Now, I'm serious about this. What do y'all think if you'd have been living when Jesus was here on earth? And Chloe, say he had come and your mom brought you up for him to hold and to pray for. What do you think you would have thought? Do you think you'd have been real happy to see Jesus and let him hold you, bless you? I think so too. Mallory, what do you think?
I think I would be happy.
You think you would be happy? Would you kind of be able to feel in your heart, Jesus really loves me? I think you'd know that. What about you, DeLorean? How do you think you'd feel? Well, when you think about Jesus, what do you think about? What do you think he was like? Is that a hard question? It's a hard question. But you wouldn't be scared of him, would you? Something about Jesus, just the way he was with people. He was so kind. Ben, I can't imagine. How would you and Jesus have gotten along? Would you? Now, see, sometimes you won't even, I'm your grandpa, and you won't even let me pick you up sometimes. Would you let Jesus pick you up and hold you and bless you?
No.
Huh? You wouldn't? You probably wouldn't. You just might not. I bet you would have. I bet you would have. Well, boys and girls, this is what we talk about, the family, you know, dads and moms and brothers and sisters, but little children, and y'all pretty soon are going to be a whole lot bigger, but you're still the kind of kids that Jesus would have blessed. Now, I said I wasn't going to do anything, and I won't, that would embarrass you, but I'll sing, if you all will sing with me, a song that was written many years ago just for you. Do you know Jesus Loves Me, the song? Do you know it, Mallory? You know it, don't you, Chloe? Now quit looking at Grandma. All right, here we go. Y'all sing with me, okay? Now, y'all can't sing yet. We're going to sing. Now, are you going to help me? Because this is about what Jesus did there when he blessed those little children. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. All right, now, I'm going to, you know, you can't be blessed too much. Before y'all go back to your seat, how many of y'all give me a hug before you go back? Thank you. Thank you, DeLorean. It's nice. Hugs. Oh, thank you, Chloe. Hey, Ben, you in on this? Oh, me. Come on, Ben. Group hug. Well, Jesus loves you anyway, Ben. So do I. Y'all can go back to your seat. Now, Jesus said, when he was blessing those little children, there was a deeper lesson in that. He said, don't forbid these little children to come to me, not only because he didn't want them to not come, because he wanted those disciples to learn a lesson that you never get too big to let Jesus love you. And if you think you get too big for Jesus to love you, you miss the whole kingdom. So when I said y'all couldn't sing a while ago, that song that we just sang is for all of us. So let's all sing it, okay? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. May we never get too sophisticated and too dignified to be simple enough to sing a simple song about a tremendous love. I want families to be blessed today. It's really, really been on my heart. We stand together, and Mike and Robbie are playing today for our time of closing. And while they're playing, just as the little children came, and one kind of came reluctantly, but he came, I want to ask as many of you as would just come and gather around here while they're playing. You're a family and you want a blessing on your family. We all admit we need it. We need those blessings. We'll come, and we'll just as many folks as want to come and stand, and I'm going to pray a blessing. Please stand at this time. But it would be good to just kind of come and gather in this maroon carpet area right around the altar where we can pray God's blessing for our families. I'm blessed to be associated with people like you all. And there's just so many things that happen throughout life. We've been through a lot in 30 some years, and you just have ties that bind you that are stronger than the little things that divide you. The other night we were having dinner with Vance and Kay, and they have a little one here, Jordan's little daughter, Ellie, who's 7 months old, 8 months old. They were talking about she's eating solid food, and I thought that Kay said she was 8 weeks old, and I thought, wow, that baby is really doing well. It's 8 months. But Kay shared something. She said, I've never been a mother, but I get to be a grandmother. That just touched me. As you know, there are so many ways that God puts us in places to receive his blessings. And as we said at the beginning, there's not a family anywhere, and there's not a family standing here in this auditorium who hasn't made mistakes, who hasn't had its ups and downs, its good times, its sad times. But let's pray that we finish well. Let's pray that we never think that it's too late to do the things that make life better, that strengthen our families and build our love. And so I want to pray that for all of you. And I thank you for coming and standing at this place. Father, we confess that we need you in our families. Even at our strongest, we need your strength. We thank you that when we look to you, you are willing to bless, to strengthen, to forgive, to do that which brings us joy and peace and brings joy to your heart. And for every family represented here, Father, I pray blessings on the husbands, the wives, the mothers, the fathers, the grandparents, the grandchildren, children of all ages. I pray, Father, for those who have children who need to come home, both physically and spiritually. For those who just want better things to happen. Father, we pray that your grace would search them out and be poured out upon them. Strengthen us as leaders to stand firm for those things which are right. As someone said, Father, give us straight backs without stiff necks. Help us to stand up strong, and help us, Father, to look to your grace and your help. Bless these families of this church, families in our community, and families everywhere this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would just stand, wait for just a minute. Rod brought this to my attention, and I said it'd be better for him to do it.
I just felt like There's times when we just need to stand with our pastor and his wife. And this is one of those times. And we're our family. And so Dad's here. Where's Mom?
She's on this video.
Well, you need to come up.
It's things like this that tell me how blessed we are. Yeah. I tell folks all the time when they ask about 30-some years at a church, the single most telling factor is my wife, the pastor's wife, loves this church. Pastor's wives have trouble sometimes, but we're happy here. That's because of your grace.
We just want to pray over Mom and Dad, okay? And I'd like for you all to feel free to, would you all mind coming down here so we could lay hands on them? Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for our dad and our mom. We thank you, Father, for the sacrifices that they make continually. We thank you, Father, for the love that continually comes forward from them to us. We thank you for the Word of God that is presented to us so lavishly and so beautifully and so lovingly. We thank you, Father, for the example that they are to us as their children. And Father, we just praise you and thank you that there are times that they just need to know that we are standing with them as a family. And Lord, we declare it this day, we are standing with them as a family.
Yes.
And we'll continue to do so by the grace of God.
Yes, oh God.
We just bless them. We want them to know that we love them. And that, Father, we extend our love and our support and our encouragement to them as our mom and dad. We thank you for blessing us through them. Thank you for blessing us with them.
Yes.
And
yes.
So now we bless them in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We're going to have lunch here in a little while. Colleen, if you'll go find the words to Family of God, and Rock, if you can assemble the assemble the worship team. You don't even have to go back to your seat. You can visit. We need a little time. We're going to sing this song. Its words never grow old. And so just greet one another, and I'll help them sing. She'll find it in just a minute. And do remember, everybody's invited to stay and eat with us. We can start. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm a part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
This one's the first one.
Because we are family, and these hearts are so near. One has a heartache, we all shed the deep and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm a part of the family, the family of God. When we gather in the building next door in about 20 minutes of preparation, we'll gather and sing the doxology, and then we'll be ready to eat. So hang around, visit, and then we'll go eat together. Not this.